You know, this morning we're continuing our series, The Gifts of Christmas. We'll continue this into Christmas Eve, and then wrapping it up next Sunday. Sorry, at this time the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. I'm seeing some anxious looks. Today we're going to be looking at the gift of reconciliation, and I had kind of a reminder yesterday of, in important relationships, just how important it is to make sure that we understand this gift of reconciliation, not only and the fact that God has done everything that is necessary for us to be in right relationship with Him, but God desires for us to be in right relationship with one another. Yesterday, Bryce and I were on our drive up to Lakewood for his winter soccer game, and didn't think anything of the roads or anything, and thought, well, it'd be good to give Bryce a chance to drive in the snow. We all have regrets, but Bryce did awesome. He did better than I did yesterday. But we were driving, and the drive, we go up through Jackson Run, up through Sugar Grove. That seems to be the fastest way, and normally, and nice, peaceful trip. At one point, I was almost dozing off. It was so peaceful, the snow in the trees and how pretty everything was. And then we got into Sugar Grove, and made the left turn to head towards New York, and I saw the roads, and I said, Bryce, I'm going to put this in four-wheel drive, and you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm okay. So we're driving along, and we had talked. I said, if you feel any slippage, just don't slam on the brakes. I said, just don't slam on the brakes, you'll be fine. I didn't talk about overcompensating, which that should have been a part of that conversation. So about 5 minutes after that conversation, he got pulled into the higher snow on out of the ruts, and he overcompensated, turned to the left. We were on the left side of the road, right side of the road, and I was looking for the steering wheel, the brake, something to try to help. But I'm amazed at how calm he stayed, and I did my best to just give him direction as to what to do to get the truck in recovery mode. But I thought of it. We had one other little incident a few moments later, and he did better at that. And we got there, and I said, Bryce, you did an awesome job, but I'm driving home. Definitely learned. He learned a few things about driving in the snow yesterday and did a great job, handled himself well. That just about gave me a heart attack in the process. But I thought about that. It's like, okay, the what ifs. And I think, well, what if Bryce would have totaled my truck? I think very clearly we understand that our relationship as a parent, our relationship with our kids is much more important than anything. As much as I'd be disappointed if something happened to the truck, I'd be more concerned about Bryce's safety and also more concerned about our relationship than I would be a material possession. But with that said, I realize as a parent, I think as a parent we get that. When a parent-child relationship is functioning in a healthy way, a parent will do everything they can to make sure the relationship with their child is in good working order, that there's a good, healthy relationship. And a parent will do everything they can on their part to make sure the relationship is healthy and that there's a closeness there. And I realize as a parent, I totally get that. And I remember before Bryce was born, my mom telling me multiple times, she said, you'll never know. Bryce was the first grandchild, so she was like, my mom was stoked. I mean, she was really excited about Bryce coming. And I remember she told me this multiple times while we were waiting for Bryce to come. She said, you'll never know how you could love anything so much when you have your child. And I get that. And so from a father's perspective of loving a child and wanting to make sure that nothing comes in between us, even if a child does, one of Bryce or Katie, does something that would be hurtful towards me, towards Jana, my heart's desire is for us to be in forever in a loving relationship where there's nothing between us. You know, the picture that we see in Scripture of our Heavenly Father is that we have a Heavenly Father that not only desires to have nothing between us, that he desires to make sure that anything that would be a barrier between us being in relationship with him, he not only desires that those things be dealt with, but he has done everything that's necessary for every one of us to be restored to a relationship with him. You know, we've all experienced that tension in a relationship when we've done something, or when a spouse or family member or friend has done something, and it creates that distance, that tension. And we know the importance of offering forgiveness and asking for forgiveness and working in reconciliation. But what we celebrate at Christmas in the gift of reconciliation is that God has taken the first step. God took the first step, and God did everything that was necessary to bridge that gap so that we can be restored to relationship with Him. We're going to watch a video clip today. This is, again, more of the Skit Guys. It's actually not one of the two guys that we're used to seeing. But it really captures the heart of a father who desires to just be connected with his kids. And as we watch this, I want you to think about your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And anytime we talk about the Father-God relationship, I'm well aware of the fact that some of us have not had real good examples of earthly fathers. And so sometimes it's a tense situation, a difficult situation to try to picture God as our Heavenly Father, because we haven't had a good picture of an earthly father. And if you're in that camp, and that's a struggle, I just want to say, and I know I've said this before, is that any way that our earthly fathers fall short, our Heavenly Father is perfect. And He desires to come alongside and to meet the needs that our earthly fathers couldn't meet, because He is our perfect Heavenly Father. And God's desire is, out of being our loving Heavenly Father, He desires that we know Him and that we be in relationship with Him. So let's go ahead and watch this clip.
It's been a while since we talked. That's the way it is with your kids, though, right? You never talk as much as you'd like. Used to. They'd hang on every word, every story, every joke, every little song. We had some times. Some amazing times. But then they got a little older, a little wiser, is how one of them put it. And they said he knew he didn't know everything, but he knew enough to know that my ways, my values, my philosophies on life were a little too... Well, basically they wanted their freedom. They're my kids. I gave them what they wanted. Little by little, I watched them change. Push back against the things I taught them, lose heart. You know, they tried so hard to steer clear of me. I wanted nothing more than to have things right between us. So I kept doing things. Sent letters, called, left voicemail. I even sent messages through friends. Nothing. No response. Whether it was that they thought the distance between us was too great, or they were ashamed. You know, it really doesn't matter. You know, when they were little, I used to tell them over and over again, I love you, no matter what. Got to be a thing between us. I would say, I love you, and they'd finish it, no matter what. They heard it so often that sometimes they just roll their eyes when I said it. But I wanted to make it so clear to them that there was nothing they could do to make me stop loving them. And that thing I said, it's never stopped being true. So I'm packing up and I'm going to them. Not bringing any presents. Just a gift of making things right. There's nothing that'll separate me from my kids. Not the past, not the future. Nothing. Nothing.
and forgetting about all the stuff in the past. And the relationship we used to have? Well, we're going to have a new relationship. After this trip, things will never be the same with us. That's a good thing. New beginnings. That's what I'm all about. That's my plan for this Christmas. A new beginning with my kids. It's been a while since we talked.
Actually, it wasn't that long ago, but okay, yeah, we'll just watch that once. But you know, that picture of a father who there's tension with his kids, and he's packing his bags and he's making the trip to just do whatever is necessary to build a new relationship with his kids. That really is a picture of what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate a Heavenly Father who longs to be in relationship with His children. He longs to be in relationship with every one of us, and He literally packed His bags. John 1:14 literally says that the Word became flesh and lived among us. The word there actually means He pitched His tent. He came to live among us. And so that we see God and we see that He is full of grace and truth in the person of Jesus, because Jesus came. He took the initiative and He made that step to come to live in the flesh, to not only give us a picture of who God is, but to make the way for us to have a brand new relationship with Him. Today, one key point that I just want to really, I'm praying for you and praying for each of us, that it really sinks in, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, is that God loves us and He took the first step towards making things right between us. Christmas is a reminder of that first step, of a father sending his son, and the son who would come to then later embrace the cross for each one of us. There's a passage that I don't think I've ever looked at this passage at Christmas time, but I think it fits well. And so I encourage you, if you want to turn to 1 John 4, verses 9 through 10. But it really gives us a picture of our Heavenly Father who's intending to demonstrate His love to us, much like the Father in this video. 1 John 4, chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I want to look at this again and just make a few comments. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. To make manifest is to make visible, something that's demonstrated, something that's tangible. So right in verse 9, we're seeing that God is not just saying, I love you, but it says that the love of God was made manifest, made visible, made tangible, something that we can actually see and grasp and understand. That God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. If you're here and you question whether God loves you, if God has ever demonstrated His love for you, God has demonstrated His love for each one of us in that He sent His Son, His only Son, into the world that we might live through Him. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, as I was thinking about this and thinking about the video and this passage of Scripture today, three questions came to my mind to kind of just guide us on this reflection. And one of the questions that often comes up, I think, when we think of the idea of God, our Heavenly Father, and this concept of God loving us, is that question of, well, how do I know that he loves me? How do I know that he, God, my Heavenly Father, how do I know that he truly loves me? If you look at the next slide, I try to highlight some things. Well, actually, this slide says, these are the words that we just read. It says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. And in this love, not that we, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. You know, many of us grew up in the church singing the old song that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's true. Everything that we stand on and what we believe, it comes from the biblical text and the story of who Jesus is and what God has done for us. But God did more than just tell us he loves us. God gave us the gift of his Son, his only Son. He sent him into the world as a visible, tangible demonstration of his love for each one of us. He did more than just tell us. He demonstrated his love. And not only did the Father demonstrate his love in sending the Son, but Jesus demonstrates the love of God to each one of us in that he willingly embraced the cross. Though he had done nothing wrong, he willingly embraced the cross for each one of us. It laid down his life for us so that we not only could be forgiven, but that we could receive God into our life and be restored to relationship with him. God has demonstrated, not just told us he loves us, God has demonstrated in sending his Son Jesus. And this Jesus' Son demonstrated in the fact that he was willing to lay down his life for each one of us. The question of whether or not God has really proven that he loves us, is, I believe, has already been proven, not only through his word, but through his actions. If you're here today and you question whether or not God loves you, I want you to think about this simple truth this Christmas. That God the Father sent his Son Jesus in a frail human form to become one of us so that he could live the perfect life and become the perfect sacrifice to deal with the sin that separates us. That, again, we sometimes get when we were starting the conversation today about the tension and that chasm between us and someone else when there's a conflict and that has to be addressed, the offense has to be addressed. So that a relationship can be restored. The Bible is clear that every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us are in that condition. And the consequence, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. The consequence of our sin is death. And that death is literally just a separation from us and a holy and a perfect God. And if that separation, that offense isn't dealt with, that's our eternal consequence of eternal death and eternal separation from God. But the fact that God the Father loved us so much, he sent his Son, we can celebrate the rest of Romans 6:23 that while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We can't fix the offense between us and our Heavenly Father. Really, that's a picture of what religion really is. Religions all will try to tell us what we need to do to make God happy with us. How we can somehow bridge that gap. And yet, as Christians, we celebrate the fact that we couldn't. There was nothing we could do to bridge that gap. We can only put our faith and trust in what Jesus did in bridging that gap for us. Jesus embraced the cross so that we not only can have forgiveness, but that putting our faith and trust in who Jesus is and what he's done for us, we can be restored to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus demonstrates the love of the Father. And we need to, when asking the question of, does God love us? This Christmas, I want you to think about the gift of Christ, who came as a baby, who died as our Savior, to make the way for us to be restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father, who does love us. You know, I love there were a lot of phrases as I watched the video a number of times over the last few days. There were a number of things that stood out, but I love the fact, though, what he says is he's getting in, packing up the bag, and he's getting his vehicle. He says, I'm packing up, and I'm going to them. I mean, he talked about all the cards that he sent and the messages he had sent through his friends and family and all the things that he had done to try to communicate his love. But he finally said, the only way I'm going to really demonstrate this is if I go myself. And think about this. This is what God does in sending Jesus to earth. Through the prophets, through Moses, through the law, through the prophets, everything we read in the Old Testament was all of the ways in which God was trying to demonstrate his intention and his love for mankind. But then he chose to demonstrate his love to each one of us in the fact that he sent his son, his only son. God wants that to be a reality, that we not only understand the truth that God loves us, but that we experience the love of God, the love of our Heavenly Father. Second question. One of the other things that came up in the video was he kind of wondered why his kids weren't responding to all of his acts of reaching out, that he had sent the messages, and no matter what he said or no matter who he did, the kids weren't responding. And so there's a moment in the video where he's speculating. He said, you know, maybe it's because the distance, they think the distance is too great. Maybe they're ashamed. I mean, the way he described at least one of the conversations with his kids was much like what we see in the prodigal son story in Luke 15. Is that the kids didn't want anything to do with the father anymore and couldn't live by their roles, couldn't share their values, and so he went out to explore the world on their own. And this father has just through this whole time just been reaching out and demonstrating his love, and now he knows he just needs to go. Though some of you may, though, connect with those questions and those feelings. As you think about a relationship with God, a relationship with our Heavenly Father, some of you are here today and you may be thinking the same thoughts of, well, the distance is just too great. There's too much between me and God. I mean, you just don't know what I've done. Or maybe there's shame, there's guilt for the actions, the life choices that you've made. And yet at Christmas, we celebrate the fact that not only did God send his son, but he sent his son to be the Savior. And we can't disconnect Easter from Christmas. We know that God the Father sent his son, who would then came to be the Savior of the world, to lay down his life, to willingly embrace the cross. And if you're here today and you think that there's too much between you and God, that your sin is too great, and that somehow God could not forgive your sin while he might forgive someone else's, we need to be reminded of what Jesus came to do. And this takes us again to 1 John 4 and verse 10. It says that God the Father, he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, if you have the NIV, it would translate it an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And the word translated here, this is two subtle different meanings depending on the translation you're looking at. And yet what I find perfectly clear, whether you have a translation that emphasizes Christ's atoning work, and the idea of atonement is the idea of a covering. Like our sin is covered. There's a covering because Christ shed blood, he covers our sin. And so that God in his holiness, when he looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood of Christ and Christ and his righteousness. The propitiation, the ESV translation that I've read, is similar. It's not just the idea of forgiveness through God providing a covering for us. The idea of propitiation is a sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns it to favor. And it's like this. These two terms are connected through the Old Testament. Is that sin deserves punishment. Sin deserves judgment. And sin has to be dealt with. And what we see in Christ is that God not only demonstrates his love and his mercy in sending his son, but we also see in the cross, we see justice and that the penalty of sin is paid for. But we didn't pay the penalty of sin. Jesus pays the penalty of sin for us. And what we celebrate on the cross is the fact that when God looks at Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, we see that the penalty of sin has been paid for. And God's wrath, the judgment that would come towards sin, has been turned away. And in its place is God's favor, or God's grace, and his love. It's an incredible thought to know that not only did God demonstrate his love to us in sending his son, but that God himself would be willing to pay the penalty for our sin and to deal with that sin that separates us, that creates that distance and that separation between us and a holy and perfect God. God has fully dealt with that in the person of Jesus Christ, and we can put our trust in what Jesus has done for us. If you're here today and you think that your sin is too great, that somehow what Jesus did on the cross is not enough for you, you need to be reminded of the truth of the fact that what Jesus did on the cross not only cared for my sin, it cared for the sin of all people. Whoever walked this earth, Jesus' death on the cross was sufficient to pay the penalty for sin. I love the Psalm 103, 11 through 13, gives us a picture. This is Old Testament, but it gives us a picture of what Jesus does for us and how he addresses the sin in our life. It says in verses 11 through 13, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord also shows compassion to those who fear him." Nothing you have done is greater than the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Whatever sin, whatever barrier you see between you and God, when we give that to Jesus and we receive his gift of forgiveness, he takes that, and like Psalm 103 says, he removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. So far, God will remove our transgressions from us. Today, I want you to, if you're struggling with that question of saying, you know, I get this idea that God's demonstrated his love, but you're struggling with that issue of, is there too much between you? I encourage you just to reflect on that simple truth of the hymn, Amazing Grace, written by a slave trader who discovered the grace of God was enough and sufficient to wipe away the guilt, the stain of his sin, and make a way for him to be restored to a relationship with God. One of the things, the third question, final question, when we think about the Father's love, when we think about the Father's love and what God has done through in giving us the gift of his Son, sometimes we have this question, and I know as kids sometimes we get this, and again, everything we talk about comparing a heavenly father to earthly father, I remember what I said, every earthly father falls short. One of the most important conversations I have with my kids is those moments where I say, I'm sorry. Because I'm doing my best to try to follow our Heavenly Father and his example, and yet I know that I fall short. But you know, as kids, kids often wrestle with the question with relation to even their earthly parents of, will my parent ever stop loving me? And that's a question I think we need to work on in relation to our Heavenly Father is, well, okay, you say God loves us and that he's demonstrated his love in sending his Son and that nothing is too great, no sin is too great. But do you really believe that God will never stop loving you? Romans 8, 38 through 39, I think addresses this really well. And while this wasn't quoted in the video, this was a scripture that just kept going through my mind and some of what the gentleman was saying about his relationship with his kids. He says, in Romans 8, 38 and 39, he says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Whether you're here today and you're walking in fellowship with God, or whether you've been fighting God and distance with him, or maybe you've never even come to that point of just putting your trust in Christ to receive his forgiveness and entering into that relationship for the first time, wherever you're at in relationship to God, God's love will never end for you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And I believe that God is probably, I know not probably, like this father in the video that was sending those messages and trying to make contact with his kids. God, our Heavenly Father, is pursuing each one of us. And if you're here today and you're not walking in fellowship with God and walking in a relationship with God and knowing His love, experiencing His love, my prayer is that you, even now, begin to think of the ways that God has been trying to get your attention. The ways in which God is trying to get your attention to help you see the love that He has for you. But I love the statement in the video. He says, you know, with his kids, he had that little phrase. He says, I love you no matter what. And some of you probably had similar things either with your parents or with your kids or in families, you know, that they had that saying. He didn't just say, I love you no matter what. That's the picture of our Heavenly Father, that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. And we celebrate this Christmas, we can celebrate the fact not only that God loves us, but He took the first step to make things right in relationship with Him. You know, the whole picture of the video really reflects what we see in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. And if you remember the story, and we've looked at this a number of times, but it's an incredible story. Luke 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament because Jesus tells three stories about three lost things to make a point. He's criticized for hanging out with people that are far from God. He's criticized for hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, those that the religious leaders kind of pushed aside and said, they're really distant. There's a lot of separation between them and God. And Jesus came and was hanging out with these people who really needed Him. And He tells the story of the lost coin, tells the story of the lost sheep, and then He tells the story of the lost son. And you remember the exchange in the story of the prodigal son is the son comes to the father, and asks for his inheritance to go and to leave. And much like the conversation in the video, he couldn't live under the home anymore and under the rules and couldn't live with his father anymore. But he, in asking for his inheritance, he basically was wishing his father dead. He went out, he took the money, he went out and he wasted the money, living wildly and in ways that were totally contrary to how he had been raised. But when the money ran dry, he realized what he had done. And he realized, he said, and it picks up in verse 17, Luke 15, 17, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion on him and ran and embraced and kissed him. Just in those last few words I read are so powerful. The fact that he saw the son from a far way off means I suspect that the father was always out looking, longing for that day that he'd see the son return. And when he saw the son coming home, he didn't want to hear rehearsed speeches. He didn't want to hear anything that the son had to say. He just wanted to run and embrace his son. Verse 21, it says, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, or heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I read that story a lot different than I did before I had kids. To picture someone you love willingly walk away and then longing and waiting for them to return, there's a level of pain and anxiety that comes with that. That it, some of you, I know you're walking through this, you're experiencing this. Some of you are on the prodigal end, and some of you are on the parent end of the prodigal story. But when we take the story and the picture of what God was giving us of the relationship between our Heavenly Father and each one of us, it gives us that picture of a father who desires to demonstrate his love to each one of us. And he not only desires to demonstrate, he has demonstrated his love in sending Jesus to earth. God loves us, and he took the first step to make things right between us. And yet, it's not just enough to know. We have to then respond to that truth and respond to that gift. We're going to leave 1 John and look at John 1, 11 through 12. I think this is on the screen. It says that he came to his own, speaking of Jesus, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God not only took the first step to make things right between us, he's done what we couldn't do. And he took the sin that separated us. He's made the way for us to experience not only forgiveness, but be restored to relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. But these verses remind us that we have to make a choice. Jesus' own people did not receive him. The question is, today, if you sense God's love reaching out to you and you're beginning to grasp this picture, that your Heavenly Father loves you and wants you to embrace him, to embrace the gift of forgiveness and the gift of life that he desires to give you, you have to make a choice. And that's at the heart of what we believe as a church, is we all have to come to a place in our life that we not only believe, but that we're willing to repent, which means turning away from our sin, turning away from the life that we are in charge, and turning toward Christ. It's faith. It's putting our belief and trust in Jesus, and it's obedience. We become a follower of Christ, and to be a follower of Christ means we walk in obedience to him. We repent, turning away from our sin, turning towards Christ. We put our faith in Christ and trust him, and then we walk in obedience, letting Christ lead us. Today, I'd like to close with a prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It just captures the heart of what I've just shared about that decision of say, okay, I understand God, my Heavenly Father loves me, and I understand God's done everything that needs to be done, but I have to now choose to respond, to receive this gift. It's my prayer as I close us in prayer today that I'm just going to say the prayer, and if you're here today and you're not sure you've ever put your faith in Christ and received the gift of Christ as Savior, I would encourage you to pray along with me today. Just pray within your heart, and if you mean these words as you pray them in your heart, we believe as a church that that's how we not only receive the Father's love, but we enter into a new relationship with our Heavenly Father. I love the end of the video, because that was the emphasis. It's like, yeah, we had a past relationship, but the focus is on a new relationship. If you're here and you'd like to enter into a new relationship with God through Christ, as I close this in prayer and as I lead you, I would just, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just encourage you to pray with me in your own heart. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, a love that not only was told to us, but Lord, you demonstrated, you manifested your love in sending your Son, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that your love would penetrate each of our hearts in this moment, that we would grasp, Lord, just how great and how wide and how deep your love for us truly is. But Lord, I come in this moment, and if there's anyone here that's never received the gift of your Son, Jesus, personally, Lord, I pray that even in this moment that they would pray these words and mean them within their own heart. Lord, that they would make the choice in this prayer to receive your gift of love, the gift of forgiveness, and the gift of life, and enter into a new relationship with you. If that's your heart's desire, just pray quietly within your heart these words. Dear Father God, thank you for taking the first step in making the way for me to know you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sin. In this moment, I turn away from my sin. I surrender my life to you. I receive the gift of forgiveness, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come into my life. Fill me and lead me, and help me to grow in your love each day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. While eyes are still closed, heads bowed, and if you've prayed that prayer today for the first time and would like me to be praying for you, or you just raise your hand so I can be praying for you. Amen. Let me pray for us as the worship team comes. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this one who has come to know you. And Lord, I just pray even now that your Holy Spirit would just flood their hearts, Lord, with your love. That they would, Lord, know your presence even in this moment as you move into their heart and their life to lead them as Savior and as Lord. But Lord, I just pray for each of us that through this week in celebrating Christmas, Lord, that we would just have a renewed sense of just how much you, our Heavenly Father, loves us. And Lord, may our hearts and our lives be so transformed by your love that we would then allow your love to flow through us to the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.